is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We're always here for baseball talk. We got some other stuff to baseball-wise, injuries we're going to talk about. Also, Major League Baseball working on the final rules against foreign substances. We'll hear from some of the people who talked about them earlier this week. But people that have listened to the station know that I'm a soccer guy. Yurko likes soccer. Carmen likes soccer. They're watching the Euro Cup, which is being played on ESPN. All the games are going to be found on ESPN. A game just ended. England beat Croatia 1-0. The 1-0, if you want to be, you know, exact about it. That's what soccer people say. So yesterday, one of the scariest things I've seen on a playing field in a long time. I was working here yesterday with Brian Hanley. So I looked up at the screen, and Denmark was playing Finland. And I'll just read this from the Associated Press, first couple of articles or first couple paragraphs. As Christian Eriksen lay unconscious on the field, his pulse slipping away, the Denmark team doctor quickly realized there wasn't a second to lose. He was breathing, and I could feel his pulse, but suddenly that changed. And as everyone saw, we started giving him CPR. The next 10 minutes were among the scariest to unfold during a game at soccer's European Championship. Several medics worked frenetically, to give Eriksen chest compressions while his teammates choked away tears and formed a circle around the midfielder to shield the scene from public view. And finally, the eerie silence that had transcended around the stadium was replaced with massive cheers. Says, we managed to get Christian back, and he spoke to me before he was taken to the hospital. He was awake, stable condition Saturday night. He collapsed in the 43rd minute of the game yesterday. And I'm sitting here. Eric Ostrowski was producing yet for us yesterday. And we're looking up at the screen, and I can see the Denmark players standing around Christian Eriksen on the ground. And all you can see between their legs is the doctor doing chest compressions on him.
You saw that.
You could see him doing CPR. It's like, oh, my God, what's going on? Now, I'm a big soccer fan. This is a tournament everybody was waiting for. Unfortunately, because of this, this is all everybody is thinking about, this guy, which is great. He's fine. Right. He's in stable condition right now. He's doing okay. Yesterday, the third game of the day was Belgium playing Russia. Belgium's one of the favorites in this tournament, and Romelu Lukaku is a big star player for Belgium, and he had played in the past with Christian Eriksen, and he talked about him after his game.
Well, I'm really happy with the win, but for me, it was difficult today to play because my mind was with my teammate Christian. I hope he's healthy, and I dedicate this performance to him.
Yeah. How big was the impact for the team when you received the news?
I cried a lot because I was scared. Obviously, we lived strong moments together for a year and a half. I spent more time with him than with my family. So, my thoughts was with him, his girlfriend, his two kids, and his family.
Yeah, and that's he's in stable condition, as we said. This was when I watched the game yesterday. He was one of the reasons that people wanted to watch that game because he is the star player for Denmark.
Right.
And just out of nowhere goes down on the field.
So we don't have any type of explanation for what happened as of right now?
No. They really haven't said much. Looking quickly at the articles, it just says his collapse, which came in the 43rd minute, before they actually suspended the game about 90 minutes, and then they actually came back and played the end of it. Finland won by a 1-0 score. They do not know what happened or why it happened. So, obviously they'll find out more as he goes along. But I wanted to ask, as sports fans, a lot of people were saying it's the scariest thing they've seen. As a sports fan, are there other things you've seen that are scarier?
In person?
Some people say, no, or on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, either one. What was the scariest thing that you've actually seen on a playing field? Hopefully it turned out well. I brought up yesterday, 1971, Chuck Hughes, a wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. The Bears were playing the Lions, and all of a sudden you just see him laying flat on the ground, and Dick Butkus is pointing us like, come on, someone get over here. And
I think I've seen that film.
Yeah, he passed away on the field. Bears won the game 28-23. It was 1971. That was one of the freakiest things I'd ever seen in baseball. And some people, guys getting hit in the head. guys breaking something. Robin Ventura slid into home plate, and his leg went a couple different ways.
Right. UFC just last night, there was a guy dislocated his arm. He was just flying around like a like a fish.
Yeah.
And Anderson Silva, I saw it live. We pay-per-view. You know, right. My wife and I are at a bar, and he kicks. And I'm kicking on Twitch.
Yeah.
And he hits his shin bone, and it flies up. Just a clean snap.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's gross as opposed to scary.
Right.
You know, whatever adjective you want to use. But what happened yesterday to Erickson, that's scary.
Yeah. And it's weird because a lot of people that were commenting on it, obviously not watching the game, they just came to it afterwards or saw what happened as it went along. But there are scary things that happen in the world of sports. Most of the time, they're injuries. And most of the times, guys are going to be okay. But, you know, remember a couple of years ago when Albert Almora made the throw made the throw and went past the third baseman into the stands. And that girl got hurt.
No, it was a foul ball. That was a foul ball before the screens went up. Yes, it was.
Yeah, because that was the foul ball that prompted.
Oh, that's what he hit.
Yeah. And he was just beside himself. Right. That was horrible. Yeah.
There was one earlier, and now I can't remember when it was, but there was one where there was a throw that got passed and actually injured a person.
I saw
Thank goodness for the screens, which took forever.
I was at the Bear game when Johnny Knox got bent backwards.
Okay.
That.
Uh-huh.
And that was relatively close on the field to where I was sitting.
Sure.
That was really...
Yeah.
I mean, the stadium went just, like, silent.
The way football's played and the way the guys are so big and so fast, it's amazing. Fortunately, the more bad things don't happen.
Right.
And
well, as time goes on, more things, bad things may happen.
Yeah.
Bigger, faster, stronger.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, and you think, you see some of the hits, and it's I know football tries to legislate some stuff out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, protect the quarterback, no hits above here, and you can't hit defenseless receivers.
And I've got to think that that's made some kind of difference. We just don't know how many injuries we missed out on.
Right.
But I think it's made some sort of difference.
Well, a lot of people have said they would not be surprised if somewhere along the line someone, you know, got hit and died on the field. You know,
well,
and like
I said,
back
in 71,
I think it was just a heart attack. I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. And so he went down. But that was the scariest thing I'd seen till probably yesterday when I looked up and just saw them giving CPR to the guy on the field.
Right, right.
And his play, you know, people were standing around in the stands. And obviously, you're not 100% sure what's going on. And
what's happening in baseball?
Yeah.
I forgot the guy's name on the Mets. He got Kevin Pillar.
Yeah,
he got nailed in the face. I mean, that's scary to see somebody just, you're taking a ball, a 90-plus, you know, mile-an-hour ball to the face and writhing on the ground. You don't know how that's going to turn out. So, yeah, there's been some scary stuff, even in baseball, for sure.
And about every year you see a pitcher or two gets hit with a comebacker, sometimes in the head, sometimes somewhere else. And it's amazing that doesn't happen more often.
Men's softball. Well, I played down in Joliet some years ago. We were on a team, and it was 12-inch, so we were wearing gloves.
Sure.
All the pitchers had to wear face guards.
Uh-huh.
Because if you play in that league, those comebackers are pretty nasty.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, in women's softball, the pitchers...
Yes, they do.
I think all the time. I didn't watch the College World Series. It was just
they're not required to, but
many
do.
Many elect to.
Yeah, because
it's like the L or J flaps. Most people wear them, but you're not required to. Although every player should be wearing one of those flaps.
Yeah, the flaps are great. One of the first players I remember wearing them was
Jason Hayward. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great because it's not going to let the ball hit you in the face because of the way the flap is built up.
Right, and your sight line, it's too small
For the ball to get in there. Yeah, and I'd be shocked. Remember in Little League, you always had the double flap that you had to put on with the foam on the inside and all that kind of stuff.
Rip out ear holes and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then Zach Collins the other day, there was a foul off the ground. It bounced up, hit him in the throat.
Okay.
So you need one of those little, like the goalie flap thing
the throat
to come down for the throat.
I know. That's amazing that, you know, we watch so much sports on a daily basis. And we've seen, you know, Derrick Rose going to the basket and his knee, he blows his knee out. And you see things like that. Yep. And you see guys come down and ankles break and things like that. But what we saw yesterday was life-threatening. And that's, I think, why it was such a scary thing to see. If you can think of something and, you know, probably you've gotten them out of your minds because you don't want to remember those things. But if, you know, yesterday I was thinking about what was more scary than what you saw yesterday.
Because, on TV. Whichever.
Yeah. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about injuries because on a daily basis, more guys are going down. And Steve Stone tried to talk about it a little bit the other day. He's mentioned, we'll get into it a little bit more, but your thoughts on all the injuries that are happening in baseball, a lot of hamstring injuries, a lot of other things. Billy Hamilton swinging the bat, and he goes out for a while the other day. 312-332-3776. We're here till 11:30. Then it is the White Sox pregame show. Carlos Rodon going for the sweep for the White Sox as they take on the Tigers. That is a start little after 12 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Sox and Cubs both go for sweeps today. Not bad. Both teams in first place. The Cubs sharing the division with Milwaukee. Milwaukee's playing well. It's going to be interesting down the stretch with these two teams going at it. So, and the White Sox have a 4.5 game lead over Cleveland. I know the caller earlier, Sox could have been up 5.5, but, you know, things happen in baseball.
Not going to win them all, Fred.
No, yesterday, Brewers beat the Pirates. Christian Yelich, a 3-run double during a 5-run fourth. And then Corbin Burns, he struck out 13 yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Or he did earlier in the week, one of the two. Yeah, he actually gave up some runs yesterday. But yeah, Indians going to win in 10, and that's upsetting some White Sox fans. But let's get to the phones. 312-332-3776. We're talking about some of the scary things you've seen in sports, like yesterday, Christian Eriksen going down. He's in stable condition right now. They hope to have an update on his situation. We're also going to talk some injuries because the headline here in the USA Today, MLB grappling with unprecedented spike in injuries. We'll talk about that in a second. First, let's go on out to Aurora. Jim. Jim, what's happening today?
Hey, Jim.
How are you?
What's up?
Hey, both you guys will remember both of these incidents. Little eerie feeling from a spectator's point of view. Over at Comiskey Park, obviously, we had the disco demolition night.
Right.
And Cleveland Indians, they had a 25-cent beer night, I think, a year or two right after that. And things got out of hand at both of those from
it was scary.
Spectator's point of view.
I was at a ballpark at Comiskey Park one time, and there was a fire. This was at a game. There was a fire in one of the popcorn machines, and they sent all the fans. Didn't have a lot of fans there. That sent all the fans onto the field. So I happened to have a sporting news, and I was with a friend of mine, and he would like pitch me a little rolled up piece, and we're hitting a little piece of rolled up paper.
You didn't grab a bat off the rack then?
No. You don't go into someone else's territory. Don't go into someone else's dugout. So, but that was kind of cool. But yeah, those were scary. I wasn't at Disco Demolition. I was supposed to, I was actually at a softball game that night, so I watched it on TV. But I would think the flying records would have been scary. flying LPs all around the stadium had to be a little scary.
And the fights and everything. Yeah. It was chaos.
Yeah. There's
yeah,
no
they
doubt.
Had actually, and they actually canceled the second game of the doubleheader.
Oh,
things
yeah,
got
certainly.
So bad.
Yep. They tore up the field.
Yeah, and back in the day, you know, the White Sox wanted to get a win any way they could, but that wasn't going to work. Jim, appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. 312-332-3776. Let's go out to Shanahan and Terry. Terry, what's happening today?
Hey, Terry.
Hi, Fred. Hey, Xander. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, what I was calling about, you guys might be able to recollect this a little better than me, but back, I don't know, maybe it was 30, 35 years ago, pitcher for the Giants, I believe his name was Dave Dravecki.
Yeah.
And he was trying to throw a pitch after coming back, I think, from some kind of cancer or something like that, if memory serves me right. But when he went to throw a pitch, I mean, his arm just basically snapped and he crumbled to the ground. And I don't know, you guys recall that?
Yeah, I do. That was tough to see. I forgot about that until you mentioned it.
Yeah, I did too. And it was Dravecki. And it was pretty amazing. It was very, very scary, like you said. They removed a malignant tumor from his arm.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, part of the muscle in the throwing arm. And yeah, he went to throw a pitch, and it was just.
That was sickening. I remember that in my younger days. I'm 65 now, but that had to be 30, 35 years ago, I think.
Yeah, and after it, I'm just looking at it. And thanks for the call, Terry.
Sure.
Dravecki kept it uncomplicated for the kids. He was a pitcher for the Giants. In 91, had his left arm, shoulder blade, and part of his collarbone removed to stop the cancer spread. But obviously, this was before that. And he's throwing a pitch, and it's just like, mm-hmm. boom. It's like, oh, my God.
I recall that.
Yeah, it was very,
was
very scary.
Rough to see.
Yeah. You see scary stuff in baseball. And it's funny that both of us have just, you completely forget those. He did come back after surgery before that, but his recurring cancer led to the amputation of his left arm and shoulder. So,
he's still with us, right?
I think so. Let me see here. There's a born date, and yeah, he's 56 years old, or 65 years old. Lives in Youngstown, Ohio. Could be listening.
All right.
Hopefully things are well. Cancer ended his career as his team was reaching the 89 World Series. So 312-332-3776. But the injuries are a thing that are brutal. And we talked, Billy Hamilton the other day, just swinging the bat a little hard and all of a sudden pulls an oblique muscle.
Right.
I mentioned yesterday with Brian Handley, back in the day, you remember Big Rod Beck? And Rod Beck, when he was pitching, he said, you can't pull fat. So, he wasn't going to have as many pulled muscles. You can't pull fat. And he was right. He's right. And now maybe they're a little bit too much in shape.
While reading here, and this is according to USA Today, through May, there were 104 soft tissue injuries that resulted in stints on the IL, a 160% increase over the 48 after 2 months in 2019. And that is what we're seeing. So they're basically, this article goes on to say, and kind of cuts into different directions, but it's something that Steve Stone has been talking about.
Yeah.
That last year threw everything off. And there's even a part in here where it says that, sometimes players aren't working out evenly. So some of the muscles are more developed than others.
Yeah.
Which causes a problem too, which I never thought of.
Yeah, well, he did. The article starts saying Jack Flaherty and Fernando Tatis Jr. Very well could have, maybe still will be, guys that win the NL Cy Young and MVP awards, respectively. And in less than a 24-hour span, the Cardinals ace and the San Diego shortstop suffered oblique injuries, the latest stars succumbing to what can only be described as an unstoppable epidemic in Major League Baseball. Right. So as we're talking about this, I look at the Sun-Times today, Dodgers first baseman Max Muncy.
Yep, I was just going to bring him up.
Put on the injured list, a right oblique strain. And
hammies are a problem this year, too, as we've seen on the south side.
Yeah, in the article it says hamstrings are going haywire, already the most common injury in baseball. They're up 193% since 2019, with 47 injured list stints compared to 16 through May of 2021. That's crazy. Oblique strains tears up 83%. Right. It's crazy, and everyone's trying to be in great shape, and it seems like the better shape you're in, the more injuries you're going to get.
Right,
which is weird.
Right, and this is what Stone was talking about: a 2020 season that saw players ramp up during spring training in February or March, then return home for 4 months as the pandemic interceded, followed by an abbreviated summer camp, and then a short season.
Uh-huh.
Everything is out of whack. And it's playing out in these injuries, which is, according to what Stone had said, this article is pointing out, too. So basically, it comes down to, we're not totally sure, but let's just blame 2020.
Well, and that's why I'm not as smart as Steve Stone when it comes to this kind of stuff. I have heard him numerous times mention that he thinks it's because of the short season last year. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that because they've almost had more time to get ready.
Yeah,
you know
but
what I mean?
The, but,
after
but that. The what I think he's focused on is the on again, off again, the stops, the starts. It's taking everybody out of their rhythm.
Yeah,
which could screw with your body being ready, and you know if you have that certain rhythm every year, that'll throw it off, and that's kind of what this article is. Is playing. Now, it does mention in this article one of your favorite topics.
Yeah,
load management.
Yeah.
And they're basically saying here that they're trying to pay attention to that, but it's not necessarily the culprit, you know, is
right.
Being overworked.
They'll never find that as the culprit because it's, I mean, for years and years and years
right.
and years,
right.
everybody
right.
played as much as they could.
But the game is different. Look, we have to admit that the game is different than it used to be.
How?
However, how much is going to contribute to that?
Yeah, the game's different, but in different reasons.
Right.
Yeah. Right. The game's different because of the way the pitchers are putting stuff on the ball. The game's different because, I mean,
they're throwing harder.
There apparently isn't steroids now. You know, they're throwing harder because they're stronger. And they do
well,
more weight.
And that's part of the difference too.
Back in the day, if you remember, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, pitchers didn't work with weights. Pitchers didn't get bulked up because you said you can't because it's going to make it harder to throw with the big,
right.
you know, the muscles right. and all. That's why I, you know, tried to stay away from that.
and it's obvious.
It's obviously worked. Let's go to Lake Barrington and Eric. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Doing
good.
Well.
I just wanted to bring up the Clint Malarchuk injury.
Neck cut. Yeah, jugular by his skate, and I can't remember whose skate it was, but that was really, really scary. They saved his life on the ice.
I was a little young to remember, but I've seen the video, definitely. Definitely a scary moment.
Did you see the injury about a week or so ago? When the player, I can't remember what team it was for. The player was down on all fours. And he
got kicked. That was on the Maple Leafs.
Tavares.
Yeah, Tavares.
Yeah.
John Tavares.
I did not see that.
And that was just a horrible circumstance.
Yeah, he was already down on the ice, and another player had come by, and his knee hit him in the head.
Yeah.
And so they were working on him, and as they were working on him, he was, like, kneeling, and all of a sudden he just fell backwards as he was kneeling. And that was... Yeah, very, very scary. It's shocking, Eric. We appreciate the call. It's shocking we don't see, you know, with the way the guys get hit into the boards and all the other kind of stuff.
Well, there have been devastating injuries, but you would think that, you know, you would see even worse.
Yeah.
But like football, NHL is trying to regulate, you know, the board hitting and all of these things because, again, bigger, faster, stronger, what you used to see in the 70s that looked horrific, that nobody had career-ending injuries, now there are.
I don't remember the rules in the NHL back in the day, but I was watching some...
There were none.
Well, I was watching some highlights from way back when, and I would see guys go into a guy... And just leave their feet on hip checks.
Oh, you still see that now on hip checks.
That's boarding.
Right.
But it was boarding. It's boarding now.
Right.
But you couldn't do it. But back in the day, I think you could do it.
Well, boarding specifically is against the boards. You can have an open ice hit and have somebody leave their feet, and that's still not good.
Yeah.
You know, you still can get in trouble for that. And leaving your feet is when you are really intending to
If I'm not
hurt
mistaken,
somebody.
Back in the olden days, and Blackhawk fans can let me know, but they used to refer to Doug Jarrett as a chairman of the boards.
Yes.
And one of the it was just because of the hip checks, he would put guys into the boards
hip checks
constantly.
Hip checks are a thing of beauty. Brian Marchment was the last guy. Do you remember Brian?
Yeah, I do.
On the Hawks?
Yeah.
He would just execute those to perfection. Just great.
Let's go on out to Flossmore and Mike. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey guys. How you doing?
Good. Doing well.
So, listen, I don't remember the year, but back to hockey. Troy Murray, when he was playing for the Hawks, he's their radio analyst now.
Yep.
He got hit in the mouth with a puck, and he had a permanent bridge at the time. And it knocked the permanent bridge out and down into his throat.
I remember hearing
about it. He couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And, you know, the team's training staff and medical staff got him into the locker room, and they were able to extract that from his throat. But, you know, that was pretty scary at the time. So, you know, probably the scariest I saw in person, which we didn't really know what was going on, was Basil McRae, who used to be an enforcer with the Minnesota North Stars.
Mm-hmm.
He got nailed and was down on the ice screaming. And even I said, get somebody down there, that guy. We later found out he had a compound fracture. His leg had buckled. But hockey's just so fast. There's so many dangers. And probably the one thing that didn't have a good outcome that I probably remember most vividly is, of course, Hank Gathers, Loyola Marymount. So I'm glad Erickson's okay.
Yeah,
it looks like
it. Sounds like it. Mike, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Hank Gathers playing for Loyola Marymount, and it was there. You're going to get stuff every once in a while, and it's you watch sports for all of the great athletic things that these players can do, and sometimes their body just gets stretched a little bit too far. Sometimes the heart can't handle things, and it'd be really interesting to see, because I don't think Christian Eriksen ever had any other problems in the past, as far as I know.
But how many times has something like this happened where there is a catastrophe and they find out that they had an underlying issue
right. That
was never apparent?
Yeah.
It was the thing with Caris LeVert this past season in the NBA, where he got traded, and because he got a physical, they found out there was something wrong with him. And if he never had gotten traded, who knows what would
have happened. They wouldn't have found out, right?
Right.
Yeah, and because there's no reason if you don't feel that way or you don't feel bad or anything. I've been in AFib a couple times, atrial fibrillation, when your heart's kind of beating a little bit too fast. And a lot of people can tell right away when they're in it, when their heart's a little beat off, one or two. I can't. So it's really weird. So that's one of the reasons I actually bought the Apple Watch. If I ever feel bad, I actually can take I can sit there and do a mini EKG.
Does that happen when people use cliches wrong?
Yeah.
That throws you into AFib.
Yeah, exactly. Every time I hear someone say often instead of often, which is the way it's supposed to be pronounced. We come back. Major League Baseball trying to finalize their memo detailing the rule against the use of foreign substances. There was a player the other day who said, you know what, I don't care that the pitchers use foreign substances. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from Garrett Cole, who had some thoughts after his first outing and other outings. And you, 312-332-3776. They keep saying they're going to cut back on this. Do you think Major League Baseball truly will? And would you be surprised if any of your pitchers were using? Lance Lynn's throwing really well. But I'm watching him, and I can't see.
He's clean.
He's as clean as can be, I think.
That's right. So everybody should be clean.
Well, they should be. 312-332-3776. We'll talk about it when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
So, Major League Baseball, they've been threatening to do this for a while. I guess it takes them a long time to get stuff done. And I think if you're thinking about the automated strike zone, then you realize it takes them forever to get anything
done.
How long
have we been talking about the automated strike zone?
Well, I've talked about it since before I met you, so it's been several years. Yeah.
Right. Well, you didn't start the talk. I'm saying,
no, I did.
You know, it's been.
I did. I was the one.
You're the one.
I was the guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just like you're ever the one that's going to start the whole jorts thing.
I'm thinking
back.
About it. Yeah. Ever since they put the damn strike, the K zone up on the screen.
Which is, how long has that been? I thought about it the other day, and it's been long enough not to realize how long it's been up there, right?
It could be.
10?
I mean, Tyler, it's got to be like 10 years, right? Yeah. You've been watching baseball,
K-Zone?
They probably end up.
Yeah,
10 years,
well,
maybe?
I feel like the permanent presence on the screen,
right?
That's in the last like 5 years.
Because
there
was a time where it was on some of the TVs,
but
Fox wouldn't show it.
Right,
Fox wouldn't have it on.
And I think of the team broadcast. I want to say the White Sox were one of the first to permanently have it on the screen.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, so
seems like longer than 5 years, but maybe that's it.
But as soon as they put it up there. It's easier for you to see which balls are,
Well, that's the problem. It's calling the umps out.
Right. And, the umpires are supposed to just want to get things called right, and it doesn't necessarily happen. And they do have a report card each and every game, and I saw one. It wasn't Lance Lynn's outing this last week, which you had a problem with, that he got pulled out after, 95 pitches?
Right.
You still...
Hey, come on. He's a workhorse. Put him in. You saw what happened when we took him out.
Yeah. Bummer. Bummer and Hoyer had their problems and struggles. which isn't, you know, out of the ordinary.
This is exactly why he should have threw
more. So Jeff Passan was on with Carmen and Yurko earlier this week, and the guys asked him, how can you actually tell if a pitcher is using illegal substances?
So the easiest way is if you see a guy who has something gooey on his glove or his hat,
yeah,
and you catch him, you know, literally, like, sticky-handed.
Right.
But a secondary way to do this is the way... So let me explain how foreign substances work and why they've become such a big deal. When you get extra spin on your fastball particularly, you know, you hear this idea that a pitcher has a rising fastball, or it looks to a hitter like it's rising. What's actually happening is that it's not falling as fast as it typically would. And pitches that do not fall as fast are the ones that have those high RPMs. We're talking 26, 27, 2800 revolutions per minute, as opposed to the average fastball that's at like 22 or 2300. So if you see a big RPM dip in a guy's fastball, you can say with pretty good authority that he was using something and is not anymore. Are you telling me that Major League Baseball is going to use data like that and go out and suspend without anything physical, without any substance being caught on a guy? I have a hard time believing that that's going to be the case. And if so, man, that causes all kinds of issues if you have to have the guy caught red-handed.
So that was Jeff Passan the other day. He really broke it down well, talking about, you know, people say the rising fastball. There's no such thing, really. The ball doesn't rise. Like he was saying, it just doesn't sink like you would expect it to.
So it looks like
it stays up. So it stays, you know, stays up, makes it more difficult to hit. The other day, Major League Baseball, we know the threatening to crack down on the illegal substances. They actually suspended four minor leaguers for 10 games. And Josh Donaldson of the Twins said, is it a coincidence that Gerrit Cole's spin rate numbers went down after four minor leaguers got suspended? Now, Donaldson was the MVP in 2015 and said, according to The Athletic, is that possible? I don't know. Maybe. At the same time, with this situation, they've let guys do it. And then it goes on to say, the article says, a pitcher's spin rate is measured by revolutions per minute, can be increased if the ball is sticky and allows for a better grip. And
he called him out by name.
Yeah, he calls him out. And the next time they faced each other, which was like a week later, I know that Cole struck him out twice right off the bat.
He didn't throw at him?
No, he didn't. He didn't throw at him. Unlike what Michael Kay, the broadcaster for the Yankees and the host of his own show in New York, Michael Kay would have done something a little bit differently.
What's he going to do tonight on the heels of an awkward press conference, on the heels of what Josh Donaldson said? And I'll tell you what Michael Kay, the player, would do, and I'm not advocating, please don't think I'm advocating for it, but I think Chris Carlin said at the end of the show yesterday with us, Josh Donaldson getting one right in the ribs for opening his mouth. Well, why are you jumping me? Even Cole said that was low-hanging fruit because he's the guy with the big contract. He's getting one right in the ribs in the first inning. Right in the ribs. You want to talk? Try talking with a broken rib. I know that sounds really bad, animalistic, but Donaldson attacked this guy's integrity with no proof whatsoever other than that his spin rate dropped 6%. Well, you know what? I'm not using sticky stuff today, Josh, and the ball just slipped out of my hand and it headed right to your rib. Sorry. See, the sticky stuff actually helps with command, but he's not going to do that because he's a good guy and I'm not. That's how I would react to the stuff, and that's why God never gave me any talent to be in professional sports, because I'd be a vindictive creep there on the mound.
Yeah, so Michael Kay got a lot of crap for what he said, and you know,
no surprise.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people in Major League Baseball that said, listen, you're going to call me out. And you really have no grounds for it other than my spin rate going down.
Well, that's why I was surprised he did that.
Yeah.
And he's opening himself up for that.
Yeah. Gerrit Cole talked about the substances.
And have you ever used spider tap while pitching?
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, you know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. You know, and I, again, like I mentioned earlier, there's, you know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
Now, that just...
Wow, what a long non-answer that was.
Well, I mean, basically, what he did say is that, you know, there's been a lot of things handed down. It's not like these guys are just creating this. It's something that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, all he's doing is pointing back and say, blame them.
Well, it's like, listen, and Nick Castellanos said something similar last week where he said, listen, Major League Baseball, if they wanted to get rid of this, they could.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. They could get rid of it. And they could have guys in the bullpens. They could check guys, you know, uniforms. They could do all this other stuff. We'll see after Major League Baseball sends this memo to all of the teams exactly what they're going to do and how they're going to try and cut back on the foreign substances. Now, Pete Alonso from the Mets had something to say, and he actually went the other way. He doesn't seem to have much of a problem with the sticky stuff. We'll hear that when we come back.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. Yeah.
So baseball keeps telling us they're going to try and cut back on the substances. We'll hear from Peter Alonso from the Mets in just a second. And, yeah, it's funny because we talked about Castellanos.
Yeah.
Castellanos right now, sorry, Cub fans, he's first in baseball in hits. He's second in doubles. He's first in average. He's hitting .362. He's second in on-base percentage with .418, second only to Vlad Guerrero at .447. He's second in slugging at .638, second only to Vlad Guerrero at .676.
And again, they couldn't afford him, or they just didn't
want him? They didn't want to keep it.
Yesterday on White Sox Weekly, which Connor McKnight hosted, and you'll hear him at 11:30 with the pregame show today. But he was talking about trades and potential trades, and fans were calling in.
Yeah.
Nick Castellanos was the hot name.
Yeah. I mean, you know, right now the Reds are five games back, I think. I think they're tied with the Cardinals behind the Brewers and the Cubs. And they're hitting the crap out of the ball. They had five homers the other day. Castellanos is just raking like he always does. And, he would have been a nice guy for the Cubs to keep. But they decided not to keep him and then move Yu Darvish. And all of a sudden, now they're in first place.
Now they're in first place, almost in spite of themselves.
Yeah, kind of a weird spot. Let's go on out to Crete. And Ed. Ed, you're on ESPN 1000 with Fred and Xander. What's up?
Hey, Ed.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listening to the show all the time. And how you been?
Doing well.
It's all good.
Well.
Hey, I was gonna tell you something. Now, you got to remember something slick here. You were talking about the pitchers with the substance, but you gotta remember, you gotta watch out for that catcher. I got stuff too on my mitt.
Do you think
we right have by stuff the home that plate? We hide.
The home plate ump, right in front of the home plate ump.
Trust me, he's not paying attention because he's looking over my back, and he just wants to make sure that he doesn't get hit in the toe with a fastball. So I'm his best friend. So you know how you remember when you were catching, if you back all the way up, he used to push you in the back?
Yep.
But if you make a lot of good plays and you kind of block the ball, trust me, dude, he doesn't know. I got stuff in my mitt, like where my hand goes in, underneath on that cushion. The catchers have stuff too. Trust me. And look at your shin guards.
Yeah, they could.
Look at the inside of the shin guard.
Yeah.
That'd be a good play.
Well, you know, and we appreciate the call, Ed. One of the guys mentioned, I can't remember which catcher they said. It was a Hall of Fame catcher a long time ago. But he used to have one of the snaps on his catching, on his shin guards. Mm-hmm. And he'd have it really sharp. And what he would do is when he got the ball, he would rub it up there against it quickly. So it would scuff the ball and scrape the ball. And the pitcher knew that. He knew exactly how to use that to his benefit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's always a way. I mean, if there's a will, there's a way.
Remember with Yadier Molina, there was the ball that got stuck to his chest protector.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean.
Yeah.
The Cardinals were the first team
that got their toys taken away this year.
Yeah, it doesn't just stick, usually. It doesn't matter how hard you throw the ball.
Especially on a ball in the dirt, too.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how hard you throw, it doesn't stick. Peter Alonso, who, you know, he took the league by storm his rookie year, home runs and everything. He talked about the MLB and asked about the sticky stuff and if they're actually doing this the right way.
Oh, absolutely not. I think that I don't think so, because for me, I think that since the start of the game, pitchers have been using substances. I mean, there's a bag of rosin behind the mound right now to help guys dry their hands and get grip. For me, I think whether they're using pine tar rosin, bullfrog or sunscreen and rosin or whatever they want to use to help control the ball, let them use it. Because for me, it's like I go in the box every single day and I see guys throwing harder and harder every day. And I don't want 99 slipping out of someone's hand because they didn't have enough feel for it. I think that the biggest concern is that Major League Baseball manipulates the baseballs year in and year out, depending on the free agency class or guys being in an advanced part of their arbitration. So I do think that's a big issue, the ball being different every single year. With other sports, the ball is the same, like basketball, football, tennis, golf, like ball's the same. So I think that that's the real issue with the changing of the baseballs. And maybe if the league didn't change the baseball, pitchers wouldn't need to use as much sticky stuff, because for guys that feel the ball and throw the ball every single day and for it to change every single year, it's not fair to the people who are using it every single day and throwing it. So for me, I would rather them have control. I don't care what they use. I mean, for me, I use pine tar when I go to hit. I have a lizard skin. I have batting gloves. Like, I have the most advantage when it comes to holding on my bat. So I wouldn't care, because on our on-deck bag, we have pine tar rag, a pine tar stick, like a special sticky spray, rosin. I mean, you name it, we have it. I mean, I wouldn't care if they had that behind the mound to help hold on to the ball, because when we start getting into these hotter months, guys start to sweat, and let's say if they lose a fastball arm side, I mean, we all saw what happened to Kevin Pillar, and that's scary. And we're lucky that he only had a broken nose, and I mean, it could be a lot worse depending on where it hits a guy. I mean, 100 mile an hour fastball, even though you're wearing a helmet, that's scary. So I'd rather have guys have as much stick as possible and focus on throwing the ball in the box as opposed to taking it away from them.
See, he goes a completely different way. And I wonder how many Major League Baseball's players feel that way, because just players, period. But in my opinion, if they're having a hard time controlling the ball,
don't throw it so fast.
Exactly. Don't throw it so hard.
You said that before.
And then you can, if you can control it and get it over the plate, don't throw it so hard. More balls put in play. Everything is fixed if they take this away from the
players. Let's go back to the 70s. Nolan Ryan, first one to break 100, right? Uh-huh. He may have been able to throw faster, but he actually wanted to control it.
Yeah.
J.R. Richard, yeah. There was a guy, same guy, the same thing, right? So I get that, but what he's saying, I also get, although the whole premise of changing the ball based on free agency, really just, I heard that during the week,
weird.
And that blew my mind.
Yeah.
That's some black helicopter conspiracy stuff. I have no idea about that. But
we know they changed the balls. They've changed the balls, but they say they've changed the balls in order to cut back on the home runs, put more balls in play, stuff like that.
Right, right. Yeah. Which I wish they didn't even do. You know, come up with that formula.
Right.
You know, and even on Cap'n Jay Hood, I heard them talking about the old, the mud. And Tyler was part of that conversation, the Delaware mud.
Delaware mud, yeah.
Do they
yeah.
still use that now?
No, they don't.
I don't believe so.
And yeah. And they're saying that should be a part of, you know, the process like it had been.
Yeah.
Leave the ball the way it is and let the players play. I don't like that they're adjusting the ball. The whole idea of adjusting it for free agency is just, I can't even, wrap my head around that.
Do you remember when Justin Verlander used to pitch? I mean, he's been hurt and everything.
Sure.
But when he used to pitch, he would come out and start the game, and he would throw 91, 92, 94, whatever, 93. 90, and then as the game would go longer, he would then pick it up and he would throw harder.
Rodon does that.
Rodon does that a lot too. And that's one of the reasons I think he can go deeper into games. I think all of baseball, if, you know, there's, unfortunately for baseball, they're into a situation where they have all these pitchers who want to go out there and throw as hard as they can for as long as they can, and then they leave after four innings. Now, if they have to slow the ball down a little bit, slow their ball down a little, they can go deeper into games, right. More balls put in play. Everything is fixed.
It's almost like the finesse part of it is gone.
And one of the best pitchers in the game of baseball was Greg Maddux. He didn't throw 100 miles an hour.
No, would he top out in mid-80s?
Yeah, well, no, I think he hit the low 90s, maybe. But
on a good day.
Yeah, but he's, you know, his is all just positioning, well-placed fastball, this kind of stuff, and things like that. And I'd be interested to see. Now, granted, I understand they got a huge plate. They will never admit it, but Glavin, Smoltz, Maddux, their plate 17 inches. Theirs was like 23. It was ridiculous how big it was. That was before the K-zone. So they may not have gotten it back in the day.
And Liam Hendricks also jumped into this conversation and said kind of what Pete Alonso was saying.
We'll talk about him when we come back and take your calls. 312-332-3776. Do you really think Major League Baseball is going to do anything to change the sticky substance that pitchers are using? And do you think they should after listening to what Peter Alonso said? 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Live stream ESPN 1000 or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
White Sox baseball. The first pitch a little more than an hour away. We have the pregame show beginning at 11:30 here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight will get you ready for the Sox. Carlos Rodon going against Kyle Funkhauser and the White Sox after 15 runs yesterday. What do they always say? You put up 15 runs one day, you struggle to score the next.
Yeah,
so hopefully
that's not the case.
Yeah, hopefully that's not the case for the White Sox.
All they have to do is have one more run than the Tigers.
That's right. Yeah, I know. And that's why I never understood this whole, I still don't get. People have tried to explain it to me, but the run differential, the White Sox with yesterday's, I'm sure they're over 100 now. I'm pretty sure their run differential's over 100 because they've scored 100 more runs than they've given up. And I don't understand why that makes you a better team and why that gives you more. I mean, you face some crap.
Well, it depends on where they're placed.
You face some. I mean, you're facing the Tigers. You won by 13 runs yesterday.
Yeah, the White Sox have the best run differential in baseball right now. They're the only team over 100 because the Dodgers were in second and they got blown out yesterday by Texas. So they dipped below 100. So it's the Sox at 103, and then the Dodgers are next in line at 89.
Yeah, I'm still trying. I know that people have explained it to me. They go, well, it just shows that they can put runs up, and they do this, and they do this better, and so on. No, it shows that they've had a bunch of blowout victories. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. There was a stat in the paper. We'll get right back to Liam Neeson. I always want to say that when I say Liam. I can't say.
Wow, we're talking movies now.
Yeah. I can just hear. They should do a. I can't believe they don't do a Liam Hendricks impersonation for a commercial of Liam Neeson saying, you know, when I find you, I will strike you out or something like that.
That'd well, cool. I Brooks think Moyer, you just planted the seed.
Brooks, you listening? Come on. I can't believe it's taken this long. Run differential by division, okay? And I don't know that this means anything either. The American League East, what's that mean? Does that mean that there's more good teams in the American League East? Well, some people say there are, with Tampa and the Yankees and the Red Sox. The American League East run differential by division is plus 95. The NL West, with the three really good teams, is plus 91. And that's because those teams have won more games than they've lost. I don't know. The NL East minus 18, the AL Central minus 36, the AL West minus 50, and the NL Central, where the Cubs are sharing the lead with Milwaukee, the division has a minus 82 run differential. They've explained it to me.
Another way of saying a team is really good. Or really not so good.
Yeah, well, of course you're not good. You're not winning games.
Here's what it tells you. It means that you're winning a lot in interleague play. And when you look at the AL East, You've got the Rays 8-2 against the NL. You've got the Red Sox 8-2 against the NL. You've got the Jays 11-2 against the NL. Yankees are 3-3. Orioles are 2-7. So you're not taking away runs from other teams within your own division, because that pretty much just evens it out.
Right.
You're taking them from other places, divisions, and,
right?
And they're playing really good ball against the NL.
Yeah. And so I know they're good teams, but I don't know that that is a great marker. But a lot of people use it. They think it's awesome. So Liam Hendricks talking about the sticky stuff on baseballs. And you look at him the other day, he just wanted one baseball that wouldn't slip out of his hands after when he came in the ninth inning on Friday
night.
And
he had a bit of a tantrum, and the Tigers broadcasters were kind of calling him out. But he had good reason. It was pouring.
This was absolutely pouring.
How are you going to hold on to the ball?
Yeah.
And even Ethan Katz put his arms up like, come on, what are you doing?
Right.
Let's get this going. But obviously, and rightfully so, they stopped the game a moment after that.
Yeah, and he didn't make excuses for the ball that he gave up to Daz Cameron, the two-run homer that made it 4-4, and they had to go to extra innings.
No.
Yeah, he didn't say that one slipped out of his hand. So he's a guy that, you know, talking about the sticky stuff, and he's had some things to say. I know he said some things last week on White Sox Weekly, too. So
Yeah, according to The Athletic, he said, still think that universal substance needs to be added. So what Pete Alonso was saying is that, you know, it's like he was saying that they should have a stand of, like, tools
behind
the pitcher's mound. That's not really going to work out, geographically speaking, to have all of that out there. But Liam is basically saying they should have something else aside from the rosin bag.
Yeah, obviously they have rosin. It's been
a universal subject.
Can't they just use rosin? Isn't rosin going to do enough?
Obviously not. Everybody is using it.
Well, no, there's always
whatever else.
Yeah.
And the point is, he's saying that Major League Baseball should come up with something that everybody can agree on and use beyond the rosin. Is that going to stop people from trying to search out the next best thing and cheat? Probably not.
Yeah.
But that was what he was saying, because he said by the end of the game, and paraphrasing here, the balls are, you know, they're dust. You know, it's hard to hold on to them. And the balls are controlled by the home team.
But
so
they're
if you're
all
a
new.
Visiting team,
they're all, I mean, you know, they give you a new ball every time the ball hits the dirt.
And that never used to happen.
No.
And now it's.
They put them in play every time the ball hits the dirt. Let me ask you a question. Why isn't when a guy hits a ground ball, the ball isn't, a different ball isn't put into play?
It makes no sense to me. When this started happening.
Yeah. It's got a green scuff mark from the grass.
To me, does that not add something that might be easier to grip?
Sure. Well, it's an easier way for a pitcher to take advantage of making the ball do something he can make it do. So, yeah, the whole thing is bizarre, and it's changed so often over the last several years. I'm going to try and play this myself here because we've had some problems with our system here. But Liam Hendricks did talk about pitchers doctoring the baseball. This is what he said last week on White Sox Weekly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rampant issue throughout the league. It's something that has gone on for decades, not just recently. But recently it's gotten to a little bit more of a scientific level where people are now using certain like devices, whether it be a Rapsodo, whether it be a TrackMan, whether it be something like that, to be able to kind of track the differences and put that out there. And I am all for policing it more and doing whatever they need to do.
This thing stops.
Because at the end of the day, we want to try and level the playing field, because this is going to benefit everyone in the long run. Yeah, it's going to affect some pitches now, but it's going to be great in the long run, because all of a sudden that offense is going to come back a little bit. That fan base is going to be not so wavering and not using this as an excuse. And then all of a sudden when pitches start getting ahead of it again, then we have the bragging rights of like, well, you complained so much last time we took it away, and now look, we're still doing it. Now maybe it's on you guys. Maybe it's on the hitters. Maybe it's a different approach. It's not, I wouldn't say necessarily guys trying to hit too many home runs or anything like that, but I think once you eradicate the substances or whatever MLB wants to do with that, I think there needs to be a come to Jesus moment where it's like, okay, well, what can we do to help increase offense? Oh, let's pay guys for singles. let's pay guys to get on base. Let's pay guys to do this rather than just let's pay guys for OPS or the home runs or the RBIs or anything like that. Let's pay the guys who are hitting singles like the Nick Madrigals of the world who are going to hit 315 to 360 every year and maybe hit 2 to 5 home runs in a season. And let's pay those guys what they're worth instead of, oh, your OPS is down or your slugging's down or you weren't at a league, you weren't above an average hitter because you had no power numbers. That needs to go away. The analytics side of that needs to go away and pay guys for getting on base, pay guys for getting singles and doubles.
Yeah, that was obviously, that was last week, and that was before Nick Madrigal got hurt and everything else like that. And it would be nice. And you see yesterday, we saw the Sox put up 15 runs. They only had one home run yesterday.
Right. So I guess according to his new pay scale.
Yeah. Maybe
people are making some money.
Yeah, Lurie Garcia and Yermin Mercedes need to get paid a little more because they're putting the ball in play. Let's go to Bridgeport and Ken. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ken.
Hey.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing there?
Doing good. Well. What's up?
So, good. Hey, yeah. So, I live in Bridgeport. I'm right down the road from Sox Park. Long story short, White Sox need to keep beating weak teams like Detroit, and they need to score as many runs as they can score because it's what? A team like Detroit, even though they're down, they got the boppers. They hit the 2 and 3 run bombs. And then down the stretch, we know that they really got to be 10 up on, you know, Cleveland. They got to be up against, you know, the Rays and the A's and teams like that. This is going to give them more confidence. And, hey, this team reminds me of the White Sox win ugly from 83. I mean, they really remind me of that team. And with La Russa back, all those naysayers back in the beginning, La Russa's old and all this other stuff, it comes down to respect. And that team is starting to love La Russa. There might be one or two guys that are still kind of whatever, but the bottom line is, if you got Renteria in this situation this year, I don't care if you got the same guys on the team, the White Sox aren't in first place right now. They might be chomping it a bit, but they're not right where they're at right now. La Russa is a big reason why this team is where they're at, and you guys know that.
Ken, I appreciate the call, buddy. Ken. I don't necessarily agree with you.
I was just going to say, there's no way you're going to buy into that.
I don't agree with you that La Russa's the difference. I do agree with you that he's not, you know, they are playing hard for him.
Is he the difference?
Yeah, I don't know. They are playing hard for him. They seem to all get along with him, and that's fine. He mentioned after he passed John McGraw for wins, talking about how the team has accepted him coming in as a 76-year-old manager, a Hall of Famer, and all that stuff, and the team accepted him. He didn't come in laying down ground rules
and stuff like that.
And
I like that. Yeah. I like that he said that because he was walking into an established clubhouse.
Yeah, he was. Well, he wanted to get this record. And he got the record. He went to a team that was expected to win this year. Okay. And with all the injuries, a lot of people are surprised they're winning, but it's not like they were not expected to win before the season. They were picked
by many.
They were
not the bad news bears.
No, no, it's definitely not. Callers hang in there. 312-332-3776. The next 7 games after today, 3 at home against Tampa, 4 at Houston. That'll tell you a lot about where this White Sox team is going. We'll get back to your calls after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So the White Sox trying to get a sweep today. The Cubs trying to get a sweep as they both they both try to remain in first place.
Right. Sweeping the Cardinals. Yeah. Boy, it's nice to see the Cardinals faltering.
Bad. Yeah, they're not good right now.
They've got a lot of problems on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They've had injuries, and we talked about it earlier. Injuries all around baseball right now. Max Muncy from the Dodgers is out. Jacob DeGrom, who went out of his game the other day after he was shutting down the Padres, he apparently will be ready to go in his next start, which will be Wednesday against the Cubs.
And Fernando Tatis Jr.?
He's been playing.
Isn't he hurt?
He played. He's, okay. He played. He's playing
the second decker yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that.
Okay. No, I did not.
He played last week, and DeGrom struck him out twice. He made him look foolish. But that DeGrom does that to a lot of people. And by the way, for Jacob DeGrom, and in case you don't know, he drove in 2 runs in that game the other day. He has 5 RBIs this year. He's allowed 4 earned runs all year. So.
Wow.
Yeah, universal DH, and then he won't be able to do that anymore. So whenever that comes up, probably next year. So,
you know, when we were prepping for the show, I decided to hit print on the injury report for all of MLB.
That was a
mistake. I'm going to get yelled at because I printed up so much paper. Yeah, it's still going.
Still going.
But as I'm looking, there's at least 5 or 6 listings for every team in the league.
Oh, sure. Sox and Cubs have a bunch. I mean, the Cubs have had 11, 12 guys. They're hoping that Duffy can come back. And then we got Nico Horner and Bodie, all that stuff. Let's go to Bob in Rosemont. Hello, Bob. What's going on today?
Hey.
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, in terms of all these hamstring and oblique injuries, that's because these guys are all training for explosion as opposed to endurance. And I think that's, you know, when you exit Velo and all of this stuff, that the nature of the training, and so many of these guys use outside trainers not controlled by the clubs, this is what's going to be a problem irrespective of the abbreviated and screwed up COVID-related schedule. But what I wanted to comment on was this issue of sticky stuff. And it's amazing to me with all the geniuses that run baseball here that they're handling this whole thing like Inspector Clouseau. I mean, basically, all you need to do, we already know that they alter the core of the ball to make it more or less lively. I don't know why they haven't already. Are we in the Stone Age here? We're rubbing baseballs with mud from Delaware. All they need to do is be calling the manufacturer and chemically treating the leather so that it's a little more sticky and easier to grip. It benefits the infielders, the position players, as well as the pitchers and catchers. It probably makes it better for the hitters as well. It improves the ability to put the ball in play. And then every half inning, you just take whatever balls have been taken out of play and blue light them. And if you see some foreign substance on the surface, you know that that pitcher was doctoring it. I mean, what are we playing around with this long, protracted process of analyzing and trying to point fingers at who's doing what?
Well, and we've talked about how they could regulate this. It's just, are they going to choose to do so?
Well, I don't know that they have a choice because they're already choosing every other alternative to try to regulate the game, restructure the game, reconfigure the field. So it would seem to me that if you, as we've discussed previously, if you basically standardize the issue to address the grip problem and then basically don't allow pitchers to doctor the ball so that they can throw it harder and control it, if they can't throw it that hard and control it, they're either going to be out of the game or they're going to reduce the velocity and use other means like they used to.
Yeah.
But I think you need to standardize the ball. Both on the surface and in the core, and at that point in time, you've done, I think, all you can to control what's going on the field in the only way you can without giving either hitters or pitchers an advantage from time to time that screws up the entire mechanics and fairness of the game, and particularly now that you've got a gambling component in there.
Yeah. And Bob, I'm sorry, Bob, I got to cut you off. We got a couple of callers. I want to make sure we get to them. Great call as always. The other thing is we'll have to just wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens this week and what the baseball says they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see if that's enough. Real quickly, a guy on Twitch wanted to know who I thought was going to win the group of death in advance. And I'm hoping it's France and Germany. Germany plays France. I want to say it's Tuesday afternoon is the game. I'll definitely be sitting there watching for the Euro Cup. And, you know, both of those teams hopefully can make it out of their group. And I think they will. Portugal's in there, too.
For some, Portugal talking soccer.
Do. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. Well, if they don't understand, it's fine. They'll figure it out. Let's go down to Palm Beach and our guy, Paulie. Paulie, what's going on?
Hey, Paulie. Hi,
Fred, great show, you guys, again.
Thank you.
Fred, that last caller is great. I like him. Fred, I got to respectfully disagree with you about the La Russa thing, and I know you're entrenched in this, and you don't want to change your mind.
Right.
Ricky Renteria was a loser. La Russa's a winner. Let me name some names for you, these AAA guys that are playing in the pros. Grandal, Eaton, Collins, Hamilton, Mendick, Lamb, Garcia, Engel. managing a pitching staff is all mental. When I showed up at this elite college to play baseball, they separated us and they said, position players, if I hear you say one negative thing to a pitcher because their egos are so fragile,
right,
you're off the team. And La Russa knows how to, he invented managing the bullpen. He certainly knows what he's doing with managing the starters. I don't think you're giving the guy enough credit. I'm not saying you, and I'm not blaming you. I know there's an agenda out there. He's an old white guy. But this guy's going to win manager of the year. He's got a minor league team that he's got in first place, 14 games or whatever, over 500.
Well, first of all, his... No, 15, I think, yesterday after the win, right, or something. But the other thing is, he, you know, people will say some of the criticism from him early on was the way he handled the bullpen. And you're right, though. He did basically invent it. We appreciate the call, as always, Paulie. Yeah. He did basically invent the way that, you know, he changed the way bullpens are run and stuff like that.
And we can't say the bullpen has been so fabulous lately either.
No, no. you know, and it's nice to have Liam Hendricks in the back end.
Yep.
And he hadn't given up a run since April.
And this minor Friday league night. Stuff. Look, we've got some fill-in players that are stepping in and stepping up.
Well, I understand Paulie's point, because Adam Eaton's not doing what they thought he would do. Grandal's not hitting what they thought he would be, and he's not really a great defensive catcher. So if he doesn't hit a home run, he's not doing anything.
We're waiting for the real Grandal to show up.
Yeah.
He's slowly getting
there. He has hit a couple of home runs in the last week or so. Billy Hamilton.
That's just a surprise.
What we've seen is shocking, because when I saw Billy Hamilton was signed by the White Sox, I said, okay, what's he going to do, pinch run? He popped a couple of home runs out, was shocking.
And Mercedes is a surprise. So, look, you know, there's a bit of luck, and these are all major league players. And you know, some of them, like Grandal, is not playing up to their potential yet, and some are playing over their head. But maybe this is the new norm for them, hopefully.
Let's get to the results of our rock poll. We only had one poll today. It was a rock poll, as we have each and every week here on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, and because we've got some big tours going through some baseball stadiums, like GNR's playing at Wrigley and Fenway, and we've got Motley Crue postponed till next year. I was asking if you would rather see an outdoor rock concert this summer at one of the following type of venues: purpose-built concert venue,
right,
a baseball stadium, as said, Fenway and Wrigley, hotbed for music, live music this year, town or city festival that you know, we have the neighborhood festivals around Chicago, or maybe it doesn't matter to you. What's the poll look like, Tyler?
Overwhelmingly in favor of doesn't matter, 45%, then baseball stadium 19%, purpose built 18%, and town/city festival 17%.
You know, I think the baseball thing has a certain kind of cool factor to it.
Yeah,
although
it's not
really built for concerts. And I've been to some pretty bad sounding concerts at baseball stadiums because they're not built for concerts.
Right. Right. And, you know, back in the day, we talked about Comiskey Park, World Series of Rock, and things like that. And I've told people, I was at County Stadium and saw Pink Floyd, and it was one of the best concerts I ever saw because of the way they set it up. And they basically needed a huge place in order to put their stage, their stage show on. And Rammstein's coming in September to Soldier Field. And for those who don't know Rammstein, go online and you'll see some of the most bizarre.
It's weird stuff, but it's awesome.
Fiery.
It's a show.
Oh, my.
It is a show.
Unbelievable show. You may not understand a word they're saying because it's German. They call it industrial rock.
But it doesn't really matter.
No. It's the music is great.
Every once in a while, just like in Duhas, just shout nine.
You can do that.
It's a great you know, kind of powerful word.
Yeah.
Nine.
They've got an... their lead singer has a solo album out, and he's got in, I think the name of his song is I Hate Children, which, this is a bizarre. And I watched the video for it, and if you think the name of the song is bizarre, you should see the video.
Hey, last year they put out a song, or a couple years ago, Rammstein put out a
radio
song, and I can't remember the name of the song. It was the video I was watching. It was really disturbing.
Oh, yeah. Their videos are
really...
Because their videos over in Europe, they can put a lot of stuff in there that they don't put in videos here in the States. But, yeah, their stuff is pretty... It's fun to listen to. It'll get you going. I may listen to Rammstein on the way home today.
No, it is very...
And then go get a pair of jorts. Yeah.
See, those two don't go together. If you like very heavy music and you don't have to understand what they're saying, yeah, Rammstein's good.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the music's great. I mean, I think the music's awesome. I've got like 7 of their albums, if maybe more.
Are you working for their label now?
No,
you're selling hard.
I'd be more than happy to if they'd be interested. So the White Sox and Rodon against the Tigers today. The Tigers are going with a bullpen day. We're just hoping it's not 3 hours and 47 minutes.
Maybe it's 4 hours today.
Listen, it doesn't matter how long it is as long as it comes away a victory.
One
right?
more run than the Tigers. That's
right.
all we need.
That's right. Because it doesn't matter with run differential. And then Carmen can yell at me later. Thanks to Tyler Rocky, all of his help as always. Thanks to you for jumping on in. Xander, we'll see you later. See you next week.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And don't forget, Sox and Tigers coming up next right here with the pregame show. Connor McKnight right here on ESPN 1000.